Well, welcome to part three in our study through Esther. We are going to finish up chapter one today. And so I hope that you've caught those first two parts because we're just going to dive in today because we're kind of pick up on where we left off. Didn't really have time to include this into part two, but it really kind of goes along with that part, really the whole chapter here. But I'm going to pick up right where we left off. So in part two, we saw where the princes told King Ahasuerus, you know, you need to send out this edict that all women must obey their men, their husbands. Let's read that again, beginning in verse 19 of chapter 1. So this is what the princes said because they didn't want the wives to revolt against their husbands. They thought because the queen did it, then everybody's going to do it. So notice verse 19, it says, "If it please the king, let a royal order go out from him and let it be written among the law of the Persians and the Medes so that it may not be repealed." Because here's the thing, just a little sidebar. Once they put a law into effect, even the king couldn't cancel it. Okay, and so that we have to understand that the Persians and the Medes had this law that once it was enacted, there was nothing you could do to stop it. Even the king couldn't, because it was like once it's in stone essentially. So they're saying, let's put this into place that it may not be repealed, that Vashti is never again to come before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal position to another who is better than she. So that when the decree made by the king is proclaimed throughout all his kingdom, for it is vast, all women will give honor to their husbands, high and low alike. And this advice pleased the king and the princes, and the king did as Memucan proposed. He sent a letter to all the royal provinces, to every province in its own script, and to every people in its own language, that every man must be master in his own household and speak according to the language of his people. And so what we see here is now he sent that out. It cannot be repealed. And they've sent this out to all 127 provinces that now the husband, that every man must be master in his own household. Now, here's the irony of this is that the king, Memucan, has sent this out now and declared this, and the king has signed it, that every man must be master in his household. But where did this all come from? Well, it came from because apparently, the king is not really master in his household. Do you see the irony here? There's this irony here that's going on about the very thing that the king is now declaring kingdom-wide. Remember, from 127 provinces, he is now declaring this, but he himself wasn't even master in his own household because his wife didn't listen to him, didn't do as he commanded. So you can see the irony here that it just doesn't make sense what he's doing. But they really think they've done something now. Memucan and the king, they really think, boy, we've done it now. We're going to show them that let the men be in charge. But notice that it was just written on paper, right? Like, even though it may not be repealed, there's nothing that was going to make them do that other than fear. That's all it was fear. That they would obey their husbands. And even then, that didn't fix the situation between Queen Vashti and the king. So they're just going to get rid of her. Just going to throw her aside because she wouldn't do what he says. So they kick him aside. Now, what kind of husband does this make Ahasuerus? Not really a great one, right? Because he was just wrapped up in himself. And what we see here, if we think about this, we talked about in part one how, you know, we're really supposed to see King Ahasuerus, King Xerxes, as just, you know, thinking he's everything, but really he's nothing compared to God. Because really, everything that he thinks he has is really just by God's grace, and it all belongs to God anyway. He's the one who's great, not King Xerxes. And we're also supposed to look at this in the end of chapter one and say, wow, what kind of husband is King Xerxes? Not a very good one. And instead, that should cause us to think about Jesus, who the Bible says is our husband, right? The church is his bride. He is the groom. And so when we think about what kind of husband Jesus is to us, man, he is so much greater than King Ahasuerus. Because King Ahasuerus, he took his wife who wouldn't listen to him, and he just kicked her out. But yet Jesus is so compassionate with us, and he's patient, that he doesn't want to kick us out. No, instead he gave himself to die for our sin. He was willing to serve and lay down his life and to give of himself and to pursue us and to continue to love us even when we failed him. I mean, you think about it, he died and gave his life. He didn't deserve anything. He took our sin upon himself. And you would think that after going through all that, going through the cross, then raising from the dead, and then ascending back to heaven, and now you think all the persecution and all the beating and the death that he took and shedding his blood to pay for our sin, you would think that he watches us now and he would say, man, look at what they're doing. I wish I hadn't died for them. I wish I hadn't given my life. I went through all that, and look, they still can't obey. They still can't bring glory to me. They still are prideful. They still have idolatry. I think if it were us, we would look at it from that of like, I did all that for them. Forget it. Just forget it. I'm done with them. But no, the Bible says that he is continuously in heaven making intercession for us. He is there interceding for us, praying for us. He still loves us. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, because he still looks at us and he says, I died for them. I died for them. And through his Spirit, he continues to work in our life to make us more like Jesus. And so when you compare in these two, when you see King Ahasuerus, who the first time that she done wrong, man, he kicks her to the curb. And yet we see Jesus, who is our groom, who has continued to pursue us. He loves us. He gave his life for us. He continues to intercede for us. And you think that that's what Jesus did for us, man. He is a much better husband for us than Ahasuerus is for Queen Vashti. And so when we look at that practically in our lives as husbands, then we're supposed to model, be like Jesus. We're supposed to love our wives the way that Jesus loved the church and gave himself. And the Bible says, and gave himself for her. So that means we pursue our wife. We lay down our lives. We look to serve, not to be served. And sometimes that's hard. I know every marriage situation is different. But we're called to love our wives the way that Christ loved the church. And when we think about our relationship to him, and we think about how many times we failed him, and yet he continues to pursue us and love us and forgive us, then even in our lives, even when our wives we have conflict with them, we are still supposed to pursue them, love them, give our lives, lay down our lives for them. And so that's what we're supposed to be as husbands. We're supposed to be like Jesus, not like King Ahasuerus. But then if we pull back again and even think just on a person-to-person, believer-to-believer relationship, then we're also supposed to love others the way that Jesus loved us. Because if he is our groom and we are the bride, then we're supposed to love each other. The Ephesians 4 says to forgive others as God in Christ has forgiven you. We talked about this in Philemon. But there's even that idea of just seeking to serve and not be served, even among brothers and sisters. And so it's not just a marriage relationship. It's that we should also see how to care for each other, because we see how King Ahasuerus is going to treat Vashti, and we're going to see how he's going to treat other people because he's just so wrapped up in his pride. And so the Bible tells us that Jesus emptied himself in Philippians 2. He didn't come like the one who truly had all authority. Like he sat at the right hand of the Father. He is the second person of the Trinity. The Bible says everything was created through him and by him and for him. And yet he came to earth, and Paul says in Philippians 2 that he emptied himself or made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a servant. And so we don't have any place in our life to ever claim any kind of rights or authority. Instead, we should follow in Jesus' footsteps and empty ourselves and look for opportunities to serve and to love and to care for others. Because that's what we're called to do in Scripture, not to be like Ahasuerus, but to be like Jesus. And so again, when we look at this, we're not supposed to say, wow, Ahasuerus, man, he had all the power. He had all the riches. He had all the authority, man. I want to be like that. No, we're supposed to look at that and say, wow, how sad that he had all that. And yet he missed it because of his pride. And may we be people that people on the outside wouldn't look at us and say, man, he had everything. She had everything. And yet her pride or his pride got in the way and he missed the most important thing. And so this is a very humbling when we read this. It's kind of overwhelming because of what he's doing. But when you really sit back and think about, man, compare him to Jesus. I want to follow in Jesus' footsteps. As much as I fail and as much as I fall short of that, I need to pray every day, God, make me humble. Keep me humble. Help me to be a servant, not someone who's looking to be served. Help me to love others. Help me to see them the way that you see them. And even more important, help me to see them the way that you see me. Because I have failed God and you have failed God so much. And yet he continues to pursue us and love us. And aren't you thankful for that? And so today I just want to remind us how good and how faithful both Jesus is to us as a husband, but also as a savior. And so today, maybe our prayer is just to pray and thank God for how patient Jesus is with us, how faithful he is to us, even when we are faithless. And yet he's still so committed to us. The Bible says nothing can separate us from the love that is in Christ Jesus, the love of God in Christ Jesus. And so today, just thank him for that. And also just pray and say, God, help me to be humble. Help me to be a servant. Help me to be someone who shows that kind of humility to others. Help me to not be like Ahasuerus, but help me to be like Jesus. And the good thing is that when we make that prayer, when we pray that prayer, the Spirit is working in us to make us more like Jesus. Again, that's Romans 8, that those who are called according to his purpose is to make us more like Jesus. And so I just want to remind us together, because I'm right there with you, that I need to be reminded to be humble and to seek to be a servant to others and to thank God for his faithfulness in Christ Jesus. Because without that, we would have nothing. We would have no hope. We would be like Ahasuerus here. But thank God for Jesus. Amen. And thank God for his grace that is new every single day. So I hope that encourages you today. And I hope you have a great day. And we'll see you again on Thursday.